this is true culinary. This is what's behind the scenes. Cooking in the kitchen, that big bunny where we eat all
fresh dishes. Stories from the kitchen.
Kitchen rolls from the gutters in broadcast form.
Who's hungry, baby? Episode 46 of the Rags to Dishes podcast. I'm your host, Max Messier Richter, and with me, as always, is the beautiful Dan Cotter. Dan, how are you?
I'm good.
One of my favorite Irish people I've ever met.
Wow.
And
I don't know why you had to, you know, put the qualifier there, but okay.
It's like a Dan Cotter. This is a big episode, Dan.
Yes, it is.
We got Kelly Duran with us, the former GM of Bucktown. Kelly, say hi to the people.
Hi, people.
So Kelly and me worked together, I don't even know how long it was ago.
About 2 years.
I think a good amount of people here have
seen. Was it pre-Demi? It was pre the pandemic?
Yeah.
Big pre-Demi.
I mean, it was still on fire, but.
Yeah.
It was pre.
The world was, you mean?
Yeah. It was still bad. It was cold. Great.
Yeah. And a lot of people that are tuning in right now are probably here to listen to some things about this place called Bucktown and this dude named Adam and this GoFundMe that's going on. But you're going to probably have to wait like 20, 30 minutes because we got to talk about some other shit first.
Yeah, we'll get into it.
So, Kelly, you are what I would refer to as like just like a legend of the service industry. Like, you've worked a ton of different jobs. You were a savage to work with. We beefed all the time, at least in the beginning.
I got to hear about this beef.
And so you're like someone that I've worked with over the years that I look back on and I'm like, yo, like that's a successful working relationship because we hated each other and then like came together and found common ground. And
so how was it dealing with this kid?
After I got you a raise as best I could.
Yes.
Worked with Max was fine. He was reliable, and that's what restaurants need is reliable workers.
That's true.
Got a big mouth though.
Yeah. So much so you need 2 podcasts.
But you have to, you expect it especially as a female going into a new management position, you know you're going to get pushback, one, because you're a female, and two, because you have to change shit. Shit has to, can I swear?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Shit has to
change. You say whatever you want.
You know you were brought in for a specific reason. It's not working the way it's working right now.
Yeah.
Why don't you come in and see what you can do? And, you know, some places, cool. It helped. In other places, it was like, no fucking way.
Yeah.
There's no way I'm doing this.
So, Kelly, I want to start off by asking you how you got into this fucked up industry. Beautifully fucked up industry, let me say.
I moved out of my parents' house and thought I had everything all figured out when I was 16.
Get a little closer.
And so then I was like, ramen is enough. Like, I'm sick of this. I need some fucking money. So I started hosting at Ruth Chris Steakhouse. I opened that restaurant.
Is Ruth Chris Steakhouse a Rhode Island only thing?
No, it's a chain.
They have like 200 locations around the world.
Okay. I don't know. I've never been. Sorry.
I remember that much from that job. And I was 17 years old. And to get the job, I filled out an application. They were like, yeah, whatever. And the guy, the manager was...
That's what he said. Yeah, whatever.
He was very much like that.
Yeah, whatever. You in here, girl.
Very much like that. He was very... Like, he would be like, if you signed with this pen, he would be like, this is a $700 pen. To get the job, he said, can you smile? And back in the day, you know, 18, 19, I was just...
You could.
Smoking hot. So I was like, all right. But not knowing that him just asking me, like, to smile, like, nicely is like, that's...
It's gross.
That's... I mean, I knew it was gross.
Yeah, because it's gross.
I was like, okay, but, like, I really need this gig. Definitely got fired from there because I was a shitty worker. I didn't know anything about anything. And then I worked at Friendly's.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then...
Is Friendly's gone now?
I think they're still around. They have filed for bankruptcy, but that doesn't mean that they're all closed like forever.
I loved Friendly's when I was like 8 years old.
Who doesn't love Friendly's? I mean, I learned a lot of shit there, but... And then shit started like moving up into other positions, like management positions. And I started managing a bar on Thayer Street called the English Cellar. And it was bad. It was a bad bar. They had like 30 taps. Like
bad in what sense? Like the clientele was bad, the way the business was run,
or bad, like bad to the bone, like
so
cool.
So like the group, the restaurant group that ran it.
Yeah.
No, it was bad, like gross bad.
Like cockroaches?
No, like the behavior towards like
you know, a lot of
their
bars
workers
are like that.
Or whatever. Yeah. Like I was advised like in interview, like don't tell the owner you are a gay woman because I was engaged to my wife.
Oh, so they were like,
he'll be mad. Like he's like a bigot.
He'll fire you.
Fucked.
Right. And what,
when was this, would you say?
Oh, this was years ago. I was 23 managing this bar.
Yeah. Like what year I'm saying? I don't know. I don't know.
10 years ago.
Okay, cool.
A decade ago when like you could still be kind of. It was before everybody
got canceled.
It was
before canceled. Yeah, it was before PC culture took over.
Yeah, when you can be told that in an interview.
Although it was
Obama's
kinda,
America.
It was kind of getting there.
Listen, I voted for him.
Yeah, twice.
No, I did vote for him twice, but when you go into the industry, they're like you kind of just know like you'll be sexually harassed all the time, whether it be like your managers or like guests. Guests are the worst. I quit Twin River because somebody grabbed my boobies.
Twin River.
Swear to God, I was like, you can't grab my. And I never.
I'm
went
so
back.
Here for the way
like,
you just said boobies. By the way,
ass, I was like offended. First of all, like.
Oh yeah, you should be.
I was really offended. I had like two trays in my hand.
You were by definition assaulted.
Dead ass. Like you can do like a. Fucking like hand signals to security to come get you, but like you were just like the guy,
he was
just drunk, and and like I was just like, and I think I left that. I don't think I ever went back. I went to like do cocktail waitressing at strip clubs, which I experienced
you
less
did that,
fucking
wild.
Assault.
Well, I feel like at a strip
Twin
club,
River.
At a strip club, there's like. Not that I really know, because I've never been to a strip club. But
it
seems like
it was
there's
one of
more
the best
like
jobs
security
of my life.
There.
Yeah, I think what Max is trying to say is like when you go to a strip club,
you know, you
there's
got like
etiquette
Sylvia
and
Dante
rules
there that's gonna like take
right.
care of
there's
business.
There's rules to that shit where it's like, you know, like
Twin River. I want to talk about Twin River real quick. Twin River
is gnarly.
All right, so like I've been to Vegas.
Yeah,
I have not really gambled much in my life. I've never been to Mohegan Sun. Mm-hmm. But on my I think it was last year, my birthday, I was like, yo, I'm trying to like play some blackjack for whatever reason. I was just like, fuck it.
For whatever reason. Do you know how, have you played blackjack?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I've played.
It's like the easiest one. If you can count to 21.
Hold up. So we went to Twin River and I was like, this is the most depressing place I've ever been in my life. It's like a casino, but like you can't do any of the dope casino shit. So it's literally just like sketchy motherfuckers. And sad old people.
Well, you kind of can. Like, well, I mean, like, you can play blackjack.
Can't smoke inside. Not that I smoke cigarettes.
Oh, yeah, that's
smoke.
Yeah.
That's like what you go. That's what you go to a fucking casino for.
I hear you.
You go to get fucked up and like break some rules. I doubled my money and I walked off. Bitch.
Yeah, same here.
It was only like I think I bet like $60 and came out of there.
Yeah, dude, that's what you
got
to do.
No, that place was the worst.
So, Kelly. I mean, would you say that like Gracie's has been like your?
I will never say anything bad about Gracie's at all whatsoever.
Gotcha.
But would you say is that the place that you've worked at the longest? Because I know you worked at Gracie's.
Yeah, I've I jump around.
Yeah.
Until I'm satisfied.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yet to find it. So, and after a while in restaurants, you want to just fucking leave that soul sucking kind of environment and move on to something
and
else.
I mean,
so,
like, it seems like the people that have the most fun in the service industry are the people like my boy Sweet T DeAngelis that works at every restaurant for a couple months and just keeps moving along.
Well, yeah. I mean, like, I'll spend a couple of years at places, but yeah, I did.
Yeah.
I find that it's usually like 3 years for me.
I mean, I've never. The most I've worked at one place is the establishment, and it was in total 3 years.
It's like you work a place 3 years, and then you're just like,
I think I did like
I hate it.
Yeah.
Then you go to a new place, you meet new people, you have a good time, and then 3 years in, you're like, fuck this.
Right.
So
it's a cycle.
Would you say Gracie's was your longest tenure that you worked at a place?
Probably, yeah.
What would your second longest be?
I actually have Twin River. I was there about 2 or 3 years.
Damn.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I just bounced around for like years, just doing other shit, getting fired. Almost beating a bitch in Yo. Siena.
All right, so
in the basement of Siena.
We're gonna need details.
Okay, so they four different people show you four different ways how to fold a napkin. It has to be specific, right? Mm-hmm. First of all,
this is on Atwell's, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I was gonna say which Siena location.
This one on Atwell's. First of all, my second day in training, the hostess turns around to me and says, "We're not gonna seat that like family Asians. They don't tip." And I was like, "I'm done. I did a no call, no show." And this man had the audacity to email me and be like, "You're gonna do a no call, no show?" I thought, you know, this was gonna work. And I was like, "This will not work for this reason."
Fuck you.
And then
that's so fucked.
He emailed me back and was like, "That girl's leaving anyway. Like, just come back and see how it goes." It went horribly. She told me all about, I don't know, his DUIs and stuff, and he was in a program, and it was really sketch place to work at the time.
Damn.
But yeah,
what happened with this napkin folding incident?
Okay, so this bitch, four different people, four different ways how to fold a napkin. This girl's like 19, she has long nails, she has, like, she's obviously gorgeous, because that was like a requisite. They're like, "Cover your tattoos." I'm like, "Guys, it's all, you hired me. No, you can see that I'm covered in them."
Yeah.
How? Would you like me to do that anyway?
Do you want me to wear a hoodie?
This is what I wear? Okay, come sit right down. So she comes down and I hear her like, "Bah, bah, bah," because there was a basement, a shady ass basement in a back house. And the owner brought me there alone and I wasn't, God, nothing happened to me. Did it feel like maybe something could? For fucking sure, because he was out of this world creepy. So this girl comes down, she was like, "I don't mean to be a bitch." Anytime any female ever says that.
Here comes some bitchery.
The fucking most bitch.
I mean, at least they're warning you.
Well, she was like, "I said..."
They're just like, "Incoming!"
Yeah.
"To fold the napkins..." This way, and her nail like skimmed my nose, and I went after that bitch.
She was like pointing at you and skimmed your nose with her nail, so she like low key scratched you.
And I went to like go whoop her ass, and like I have a baby at home. My son's like 3.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like that song, like, you know that song, like, "What would you do if your son was out?"
Yo, City Hall.
So like that's going through your head. City like High, I'm about to lose my job right now, but I have to kill this bitch, right? So they review the tapes, whatever, whatever. And they like, I was like,
she skimmed my shit.
So yeah. I didn't beat her up or anything. I just pushed her and left the building. I was like, "Nah, fuck this." Right.
Damn.
Yeah. That's not that
right.
Bad.
People getting scratchy.
I was young. I kind of had really nothing to lose at that. But I work at Siena on the Hill.
When you first said that she had long nails, I was like, "That's an odd detail," but I like the color to the story. Yeah, I didn't know it was going to come back and pay off like a fucking slot machine.
Okay, well, so that place.
And that was one of the easiest jobs to leave.
What about the other Italian place you worked at?
Trattoria Romana, who fired me 10 days before my wedding.
So, nice. Say what the restaurant is called again?
Trattoria Romana. They have
Trattoria
like,
Romana.
Trattoria Romana.
This like mini empire in Rhode Island of like pizza.
Yeah, they have a bunch of those, right?
Like yeah, they do.
Okay, I think there's one in SK too.
Yeah, right? There's one in the Commons.
So oh,
that's my letter.
Yeah, man, whatever.
So good.
I like that letter.
The owner.
So wait, what did you do there?
I was a hostess there because that's what I did for a long time. Like. After serving, like, I had to make something more steady because, again, the baby I had at home, I was, like, 22. I was like, "Oh, shit, this baby costs a lot."
Yep.
So I had to get something more consistent than just, like, serving or whatever the fuck. I don't know.
Yeah,
I
was, you had your reasons.
You just needed to grind.
I needed that money.
Yeah.
And, I got fired from there 10 days before my wedding, like, shortly after they found out I was marrying, like, a girl.
You think that's why?
No, I know that's why.
Damn.
I know that there's no way it's not.
That's fucked up.
10 days before my wedding?
Yeah, that's true.
What reason?
That's
I didn't
fucked.
Fight. I did a good job. I tried to
they
do...
They never gave you what a reason what did they tell you? That's the same thing.
I just... They said, you don't fit in here. You don't fit in here.
That's
and I
fucked.
Was like, "Oh, okay. So, okay. I got it. Cool."
That's fucked.
She touched my pants one day, like the fabric of my pants in the girl's bathroom. Like we were washing her hands and she was like, "I'm going to give you $100. I was like, "Okay, awesome." She was like, "You have to go buy new clothes to work here." I was like, "That's fucking weird." I was like,
"What were you rocking?"
Like linen pants And I had to cover, again, all my tattoos and cardigan, bro, like a fucking cardigan. And but all her girls were like dressed like short dresses. And I was just never that.
Yeah, that's not your vibe.
I'm going to wear pants probably because this is, job is fucking hard, bro. Mm. And I was like, that one fucking hurt. That one hurt.
That is so that's fucked up.
that one sucked. Yeah, 10 days before my wedding, they said it didn't fit in. I was like, awesome. Cool.
That's fucked. Where'd you go from there?
I don't even remember.
I would have gotten their takeout for my wedding and been like, just so you know, this is for a gay wedding.
I don't know.
All this chicken pie they're about to make.
It wasn't even that good. You want to know something on for real? On their menu.
I always
do. And they would tell all their servers that their pasta was homemade. Fucking guess what I found one day? A whole closet of Barilla.
That's fucked.
I was like, okay, you scamming pieces of shit. $20 for just pasta and red sauce? It's Barilla.
That's a fucking...
That's when that's I lost...
They're fleeing with the lottery.
That's when I was like, this is a scam. Like, this is a scam.
That's so brutal.
I was like, okay, I mean, great. But that job definitely set me up for like the pressures and of this industry. It's a beast.
Yeah.
And this pandemic destroyed it.
So...
Whoever's left.
I... Kind of disagree with you there. I think
if you find if you have a good spot,
see,
great.
I think this pandemic has made or broke, blah, 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 whatever you want to call it. The businesses that are doing things how we it's interpret as break. The right way are doing very well still. Well, maybe not very well, but well. And the businesses that are fucking their employees over are doing very bad. Which I think is a good segue to
over.
Yeah, to the place that
we
worked
at
together.
I mean, I've worked in a lot of places. It is like exactly how you would think working in the restaurant industry is. Like if you're a female and a boss, it sucks. Somebody called me Hitler once. It was bad.
That wasn't me, was it?
No, it wasn't you.
Thank God.
It was this
kid. Think we used to call you the Kellhound. Like a hellhound, but it was Kelly.
Like I just was like, hey, meet food safety rules, guys, okay? Remember that today.
Yeah.
Have a good day, guys. Let me know if you need anything. And then... Behind the scenes, it was just the worst.
Let's get into some Bucktown talk here.
I mean...
I want to hear more about you guys' beef when you guys worked.
Let me talk first.
Yeah, go ahead.
Would you say that Bucktown is the worst place you've ever worked at?
And I was thinking about that because knowing what kind of questions I would ask you. Because
that's
I
a big question.
Position.
And I'll tell you what I think. I just want to hear what you think first. Well, definitely, from my position.
I mean, I've been in some pretty bad jobs. And like, honestly, the Bucktown had to be definitely the worst.
I've thought about it a lot.
I've thought about it
too.
Hard, dude.
I've probably had worse jobs as far as like my job physical labor.
Like you hated it more.
Yes, yeah. But I would say as far as like how it made me feel.
So bad.
The worst.
The worst.
Just like worst work environment.
And so...
Despite my best efforts, I tried to throw a Christmas party. We'll talk about how that
ended. Yeah, we'll get there.
We'll talk about how that one ended.
That's like the grand finale.
So bad.
But, you know, when I started at Bucktown, this was probably maybe like 9 months before Kelly got hired, almost a year, something mm-hmm. like that. I almost did a full year before you came into the picture.
Mm-hmm.
It was still young, the restaurant, mm-hmm. brand new, I think. Mm-hmm. I didn't help open it, but it was like
you guys didn't have recipes written down. You didn't have a handbook. Nobody knew what
for at least
I
half the recipes.
I was surprised you guys had W-2s on file. I was
but
shocked.
You know, like when I got hired there, there was like a prep cook that used to like chill and prep and like drink wine on the line. You know what I mean? Like it was very much lawless. It was very much new. Money was being spread around, so there was cool shit going on.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like the food was good because it's brand new. You got a brand new kitchen. You got to hope it's good if you just opened up. You know, they had probably been open like almost a year when I got hired there.
Mm-hmm.
Things were great. There were obvious problems, mm-hmm. but things were great.
But just like problems that like
well,
a new
problems,
restaurant would have. Like,
they didn't
have their organized shit together yet.
I mean, yeah, I guess, but like.
No, like in my mind, before you open a restaurant, you write a handbook.
And or if not a handbook, yeah, you just gotta.
You gotta at least have a plan.
You gotta at least have your shit together, organized. Well,
a failed soup business along the way. He had it's a
whole bunch. Basically what made me not like Kelly when Kelly started.
Sorry.
Let's get into this.
Well, one, you know,
no, maybe I'm not sorry.
I respect this about you a lot, but like you know, you don't really take any shit. Which, that's just frustrating. There's no reason for me to not like you.
Because all you do is give shit.
When you got hired, yeah, exactly.
I just
when
really you got hired, wanted to make the food, like everything.
I don't even think you realized it, but you were being used as this, obviously as this manager, but as this person for Adam to take away costing for everything.
For sure.
So like in the 3 months that Kelly started, it was just like, okay, now we're getting shitty lettuce. Now we're getting shitty soap.
So the food,
like, and I'm saying shitty, like cheaper.
So you're saying that the owner put her in place
because
so that people would blame her and not him?
Well, I don't know about that, but he didn't have the balls to do that himself.
Oh.
So she was the one that was the patsy.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And
like,
I think
so on
we
the
came,
back end,
we came to
I'd
a,
be with like a guy who hasn't taken a shower in 3 days, right? I'd be in a, he'd be totally hungover, and he'd be like, we have to cut costs. We have to cut costs. You took Ashley and Dan off the schedule. We have to cut costs. We have to cut costs because he would work those two to death.
Damn.
And yeah. rely on their labor to keep his labor costs down for reasons we'll get into, I guess. But, yeah,
and basically,
behind the scenes, I was under a lot of pressure to
As a worker there, shit started to suck. The day-to-day started to suck. And I was at a point where I was established there. You know what I mean? Like, I could be trusted. I could work a night, you know, with me and a new person. Yep. I didn't need a manager there. Even though a manager should still be there.
Yeah.
And... you know, I would get mad at Kelly all the time, and I'm really sorry, Kelly.
No, I mean, like,
but
again, expect it.
At some point, things started to get so out of control that a common ground was met, that it was Kelly was kind of just like, yo, I'm dealing with some crazy fucking shit, and I'm sorry if this affects what's going on with you, you know?
So you just got on the same page.
I mean, let's start with the first beef I have with this guy that owns the restaurant.
There are many things
he refused to give raises to people.
Okay, so, all right.
So I think I asked for a raise, the first time I asked for a raise was about a year and a fourth into working there.
I tried to get you a raise, and I'm pretty sure I did.
You slipped me a raise without telling him.
Yeah.
And that is when we really got tight. But yep. Someone else there slipped me a raise without telling him. So when I quit and was like, hey, I need this amount of money or I'm leaving. And he said, how much are you making? And I said, $12.50 or whatever it was. He was like, I thought you were making 11. And I was like, yeah, people gave me raises without you knowing.
Yep,
and he was very mad.
Damn. I mean,
but
all right.
Like, how uninvolved is your in your business that you don't know that your employee got a raise for until years later?
Well, all right.
I think it was like 9 months later.
Like,
but yeah,
like
before we get too into this, I just want to say that, like, so for the record, I guess you guys are saying that people shouldn't.
I'm saying
donate
out
to
that, like,
I don't.
All right,
before I just want to say that,
that,
like,
you can spend your money on.
Here we go. Here we go.
All right, hold on. Before you whip your phone out, I just want to say that, like,
I would say.
I mean, it's gonna take some convincing for me,
because
you know, it's hard to advocate for the closing of any locally owned small business. So, like, I'm not saying I'm not open to it, but I'm just saying, like, you guys are going to have to convince me, because it's like, it's got to be more than like, it was a shitty place to work. So, like, not giving raises is fine.
Excuse me. Let me take the floor here. I'm going to read the GoFundMe off.
Okay, do it.
Before we get into talking about the restaurant Bucktown, for real.
I read it quickly. I hope it doesn't say anything
about you. As of the recording of this podcast, they have raised $35,750 out of their $50,000 goal.
Wait, $550 is the goal?
No, the goal is $50,000.
Oh, $50,000. So they're almost there, damn.
Well, so let's read. And
all right, go for it.
As I read, I might... Don't interrupt. I mean, you can interrupt. I'm going to point out when a lie is told. Because there are multiple lies.
I mean, how am I going to know?
You're going to have to just...
You go.
This. Okay. Bucktown Chicken and Fish has been serving our local community...
Lie. It's not fish. It's not fish.
Our local community with affordable quality fried chicken and po' boys, burgers, and other delicious fare for the past 5 years. Fact. We were selected as one of the 50 best new restaurants in America by Bon Appetit magazine during our first year and have been working our tails off to make simple, authentic food, which we keep affordable for our local community. When the pandemic, that was fact two. When the pandemic hit in spring 2020, we turned our casual indoor-outdoor shop into takeout only to keep our staff and customers safe. Let's say fact.
Put a pin in that, is what you're saying?
Yeah, those are all facts. Okay. We have struggled over the past 2 years to pay for payroll, rent, utilities, food, equipment, and taxes. We lost our liquor license, and without indoor seating, the ability to sell beer and wine. A long winter ahead, and with this new Omicron surge, we are in danger of closing our doors. Now, let me speak on this.
Why would you lose your liquor license?
So, from inside sources that I have from people that were working at Bucktown this past year, they simply lost their liquor license because the owner forgot to renew his, and that's why they don't have it.
Dummy.
Do you want to know why? I probably put it in the calendar every year up until 2022, and then I fucking stopped.
And then, so then it didn't get done.
So let's continue. We are humbly requesting your help for the first time to pay our staff and pay our rent and pass obligations and to keep us afloat until spring so that we can come back bigger and better. This GoFundMe has been set up to help us stay afloat for the next few months. I'm going to say it's no bullshit there. We want to reopen indoors and bring back the amazing music, positive vibes, and special dining events such as Oyster Night, Crab Boils, Chicken and Waffles Brunch, and hope to open a new outdoor seating arrangement to accommodate outdoor dining. None of these things will be possible if we cannot get through winter. I'm just going to keep going.
That all makes sense to me.
We are asking you, our friends, near and far, loyal customers, Providence, and nationwide family to support our small business, which seeks to give our dedicated staff a positive work environment, our New England community quality, delicious food, and memories. Please give what you can and support us and share. Our Bucktown family wants to greet you, serve you, and continue to bring you our warm hospitality and food for years to come. Now it says cost breakdown.
We are
looking to raise 50 G's. They didn't say G's, but which will be allocated to payroll, rent, utilities, ingredients, maintenance, and past obligations. This will help us.
The past obligations. And he said to me, like, this is my old gambling
debts. It's not his gambling debts. It's his General Chow's chicken from Golden Pot debts. It's his rent from Room and Works where he got evicted from rent.
When he said, I need a main for my $1,200, mind you, I had just found out that Ashley made the least amount out of the whole shit.
Ashley was a cook there.
Ashley was the chef, part owner, and developed the majority of the recipes.
So the backbone of the place.
And she was also, she was a good friend. Let me continue though. But yes, the past obligations. Every dollar we raise will be dedicated to keeping us sustainable. That's bullshit. The Bucktown story. Bucktown was born in the summer of 2016 on the west end of Providence, Rhode Island, with one goal in mind: to enhance our local communities and help our team members grow. I don't think one person that's ever quit from Bucktown gave their 2 weeks or finished their 2 weeks.
No.
Because they were too fed up? It was like a walkout.
Or he was too fed up, including myself. Our focus on community enables our business and team members to grow with and alongside the neighborhood and people that we serve. Over the years, we have had the pleasure of collaborating with other businesses, yada, 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 yada. As we set our sights on the next chapter of the Bucktown story, we are grateful for all those who have supported us along the way and who continue to make Bucktown special. If we can get through the winter with your help, we hope to pick ourselves up with a serious comeback. Our future goals to help us increase revenue and thrive. 1, reopen indoor dining. 2, create a larger outdoor dining space. 3, sell merch. 4, bring back Oyster Night, chicken waffles, all that stuff. 5, obtain a full liquor license so we can once again serve beer and wine as well as offer a full bar and specialty cocktails. And then it just shows you how you can donate. So there wasn't that many lies in there.
I was expecting you to call out more shit.
Those goals are the exact same goals that he had in place when I got hired.
Which was 4 years ago, 3 years ago, something like that.
Damn. So now he's just
like, so I guess basically I read that and I was like, yo, fuck that. They don't have any money because, like, it's not like they have a loss of business. COVID did not hurt that business. When they went to take out, their profits went up. Really? I know that from inside sources that were working there at the time.
Sources say.
And we also all know that when this man was Adam fucking Muir. I'm going to say it out loud. Adam fucking Muir, my guy.
I would not go just with not there was just good investors.
And you know what? I did my defamation research. And
for the listeners at home,
not good.
Max's gloves are now off. I just wanted the listeners to know.
Well, and I mean, you know what? We can talk about it.
He was an asshole.
He did so many bad things over and over again.
Let's go.
Like, to a point, like, he couldn't come to deposits with me.
Let me know, like, what?
So people have been asking me what my beef with him personally is, and though I can't say there's a bunch of things, I can name a couple in...
Yeah, because so far you've just said he was shitty to work for and didn't give raises. Sounds like a greedy owner, but like
was just like very open about the fact that he had bipolar and he didn't want to take medicine for it. He was super fucking open about that fact.
Okay, so you're like, describing Kanye West to me.
And he drank hard. It was kind of like...
He had
like
a little bit of a God complex as well.
It was really difficult.
Did he own a lot of land in Wyoming?
Maybe? No, I mean, it was really... It was a lot.
Let me give a little story here. So, I'm going to go out there and say Adam Muir is afraid of black people.
Whoa, okay.
And here's a little story to tell you that got me in some shit. So my father passed away while I was working at Bucktown.
Mm-hmm.
It was right around this time of year. And I think I took 6 days off, something like that. It was 5 or 7 days.
Mm-hmm.
I do.
The morning like, I came
off as much time as you
the
want.
Morning I came back. I can't even remember that week, but the morning I came back, me and Shantae was a sassy, and I really need that bitch on this podcast, a sassy, badass, little old black lady from the South Side.
Mm-hmm.
Love Shantae to death.
Mm-hmm.
But she was kind of like, in a way, you could say she was like my assistant when we worked a shift. Like, I was on the line. I was doing prep. She did some prep.
Mm-hmm.
She did some dishes with a million fucking rags in her own crazy fucking way. Let's not focus on Shantae here.
Shantae.
Anyway, Adam came in that morning. He did, you know, he was like, hey, I'm sorry about your dad. Shantae goes at this man's neck, like bugging the fuck out about how she ain't getting paid enough, yada, yada, yada. Mind you, like very recently before my father had passed away, I had asked for a raise and been told no.
Damn.
Was it me?
I think it was you, but so like, I'm sure you were like, hey, it's no, but like, it's not me.
Were you guys making sub $15? Because you said something about like $12.50 earlier. That was after a raise. So you guys were
that
making
was after,
like,
that was after two raises. So
what
I was
were
making,
you guys making?
I think when I was asking for this raise, it was like 11.
Damn. So Shantae was probably around the same.
We had tips. Like, yeah, we were $10. The same. Yeah,
damn.
It was something like
that. And this is like your main, like, what about Ashley? Like, what do you think she was?
More, but not 11. I mean,
not
more,
15?
But. Maybe top tops.
No, not
I don't
15,
know.
Not 15.
Damn. Anyway, so, like, your backbone is making, like, $14 an hour?
But we also had tips, so you got to remember.
Oh, okay.
Tips.
Were
they
good? Like, I mean.
At times. But anyway, let me just get back to the story. So Shantae's bugging out of this dude, and he's very scared.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a scared person in general.
I get that, but I think he acts a little different around black people,
course,
and it's just
yes, he does.
Anyway, she barks at his ass, blah, 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 blah. She comes back in, and she's like, yo, I just got a raise. And I go, what are you making now? And she goes, $12.50.
Damn.
So I was very frustrated already, as you could probably tell. And I went outside, and I said, yo, did you just give her a raise? And he goes, what are you talking about? And I go, you just said that I couldn't have a raise. I work here 55 hours a week. I do yada, yada, yada. I'm not going to go off about what I did at work. And you just went and gave this woman a raise just because she bitched at you a little bit.
Bullied into it.
And he took it as, that's not how you should have approached me. Blah, 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 and started fucking bugging out on me. And I didn't really do anything about it. But that was like the moment of me working at Bucktown where I was like, this dude can literally go fuck himself. Like, this dude does not give a shit about one of his employees.
Not at all.
Literally.
So far, he just sounds like a dummy and, like, kind of a shitty owner. Like, so
well, yeah, that's kind of what I'm saying.
The only, yeah. No, he would.
That like, was my, would, that's my needed, worst Adam story.
I mean, that's bad. I mean, but, like.
The Adam stories I could tell you that are not about me are worse.
So
yeah, because I was so like, that I one's not that bad.
So let me ask some shit to you, Kelly. Let's start with, how did you get the job at Bucktown?
He took a class with the owner of Gracie's at, like, some fucking
where
college.
Where you used to work?
Yeah, I mean, like, they're good friends of mine. They're always yeah. being, they taught me everything I know about how to do this shit anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So she was like, hey, a restaurant down the street needs help writing SOPs and handbooks and shit like that. Do mm-hmm. Are you interested? So I met Adam at a bar. Mind you, I'm fucking sober during this time. I was sober yeah. for, like, years. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you want to meet at a bar? And I was like, no, for, like, a job interview? I've never done that unless I was going to a bar to work.
Yeah, like, unless it's the place right. where you're interviewing
and
for.
And it was, like, at the corner or whatever. And it was, like, dark and weird, and I couldn't
What bar
hear him.
Is it?
I don't know. The one right at the corner.
The Avery?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. But I was like, I'll have, like, a like fucking water. Like, I don't want to be here in this bar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm, like, 4 years ago, I'm still, like, 26, 27 at that time. I'm not, like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. highs and, you know, fucking, yeah. I don't fucking know anything yet.
I was, like, a baby. I was, like, what, like, 23?
Yeah, well, yeah, I had mm-hmm. me. And then we got into it, and then I just found out just how much work needed to be. Like, there was no money log. You don't know how much you're making.
There was, like, no books?
No,
like,
no, there was, books didn't exist.
Yeah. All right,
so
that's
I
pretty bad.
I was like, let's start there. Yeah. I was like, do you guys have, like...
Have you heard of accounting?
Like, no, it wasn't like that. And, like, all their licenses and things like that were about to be expired and shit like that. And I was like, you have to... The first thing I did was clean out so much rat shit from a house that he had in the back.
Damn, that's gross.
They would illegally prep food because they're not supposed to be back there
prepping. In the
food.
House that was like
in
a separate property.
Oh. I was like, yo. So and we're gonna I was like, to I think I told house. Them. I was like, I'm gonna call the health department unless you let me pay the exterminator. This is only going one or two ways, guy.
Damn.
We're cleaning this up or no fucking way. And he let me pay the exterminator like pretty faithfully. That was one of the only bills I can get him to pay on time.
Wow.
That's gross.
And so, then payroll was a whole different thing.
Very,
I would just put in what, if we needed a raise, I would just put in whatever fucking number I said.
Because he obviously wasn't paying attention to payroll if he didn't even have
no,
books.
No, never. Like, he said my standards were too high. And I was like, okay.
He
so
had
like,
no
I'm
standards.
Like, at this point, I'm doing like my minimum. Like, I can't work at my full capacity. This guy's coming in, yelling, stinking, fucking hairy. Like, he paid at the WeWorks place or whatever.
Say it again.
Where he lived, you could
room
have
and
meetings,
works.
Whatever. But he would still make us go up to his apartment.
To and have a meeting?
Yes,
yeah, like this
young
place.
Girls.
This like.
Like one-on-one meetings or like team
meetings? This loft
Damn.
Complex
and
had like little
meetings.
Meeting rooms for you to like have like.
Meetings in.
Yeah.
Like the appropriate spot for a fucking meeting.
You wouldn't utilize
that.
Yeah, you would just yeah, like come yeah. up to the.
Because he would say people can hear me.
He's like walk past the conference room and
people
up to
can
my
hear
apartment.
Us. Yeah, he would say people can hear us through the ceiling. I don't want them to know our plans. And I'd be like, that is fucking crazy. We're yeah. having a meeting in the meeting room.
I think maybe once every.
Adam didn't like me. We didn't get along because I'd be like, we're doing this either fucking right or not. Like Damn. We didn't get along almost ever about anything ever.
Well, I mean, he needed you to, like, set him straight. How did he think it was going to go? Like, it was going to be super agreeable
well,
when you
I
were, like, everything's
wrong. Well,
once
I saw about it, I was like, okay, well, you guys don't have, like, a structure. There's absolutely no structure. There's no fight. Like, there's nothing
So did you put
here.
Those kind of, that kind of structure in place and were things good for a while? Like, was
things
that ever a thing?
I mean, things were miserable,
But better,
did I get their,
like,
their like on the back end? Hell yeah, of course. They had a hand. You guys had a handbook to look at and know that there's rules and know that you can't drink on the job. And do,
nice.
I'm sorry
so
if I had to be the one
established.
To be like, you can't drink on the job. I'm sorry, guys. What do you want me to do? Like, I'm that kind of manager.
Yeah, at least keep it to like cleanup.
Like, can you just fucking wait till after? And we had beers after. I feel there's some nights. Well, I didn't.
Yeah, hey, you get like beers while you mop and shit at the
I
end.
Feel like,
no, even
I
that.
Feel
like I don't
damn.
Like it. No, nuh-uh. If
as,
you're at work.
As the GM, like, there came a point where the staff bonded with you, including myself, where it was like, we found this middle ground of like, okay, Kelly is not the villain.
Here. Like, I'm trying to take what like Adam says and what you guys need and find a happy medium and get you guys what you need. You guys need knives, but I can't buy. Like, I tried to do my best there, but it was constant fuckery all the time going in, not knowing, like, my standards were that Adam would go to work Monday through Friday, and he was like, that's not...
Okay.
That won't happen.
I said this.
Like, you have to go to work. He was like, that won't happen.
Like, did he do anything for the bit? Did he cook? Did he
I think
serve?
When it first opened, he did like the register.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, I forgot what they said. Quickly.
That probably
it wasn't working out. So he had to step behind the scenes.
In what sense was it not working out? Like, he was bad at it?
He just blown it. Yeah, he can't handle any sort of
social situations.
Wow.
Now, we're shitting on this guy, and there is like a whole mental health aspect to this of like, you know, like,
all right, but like, okay.
But at the same time, I'm not saying it's an excuse.
You've met regular bipolar people though right? Yeah. You've met just regular bipolar people that do what they need to do to get by.
I don't think bipolar is an excuse to treat people like shit.
It's not. And this guy, and he would use it all the time to like leverage what he was saying. And it's like, I don't think I'm like dumb as rocks. You know what I mean? Like, I know when you're like, trying to you're trying to fuck me right now, like over.
Yeah.
You're trying to fuck me over right now and make me go tell these guys,
mm-hmm.
you know. And then I would try to do as much as I could for these guys. And
so let's talk some more about some Adam experiences of mine. So I would say probably once every 4 to 6 months, I would come in to open the restaurant. And nothing would turn on.
All the lights, really? Everything.
And I would have to... I mean, I'm not gonna lie. If I was opening the restaurant, I'd probably be pretty stoned walking in there. But I'd have to figure out what the problem was, and then the problem would end up being, oh, the bills weren't paid.
Seriously,
for real.
So yes. It'd be like, okay, we're opening in 3 hours now.
That's just embarrassing.
For me, it's embarrassing. I was like, fuck, guys, I'm so sorry. Like,
you can't maintain a business. It's like, it's day one shit.
Electric.
It's not even just owning a business. It's like just adulting.
Like,
it's
we would have a meeting once a month to go over finances. And he'd be like, you got to haggle with the food guys. I was like, first of all, I don't handle the food guys, as you know.
And second of all,
you can't haggle with them if you owe them $3,000. That's not how that works.
It came to a point where he would owe these distributors money and just move on to another one.
So it would just be like, I'd have
get like just like getting lawyers. A new credit card.
Yeah, like yo, I owe Quality Foods. I'm not going to say how much money.
So much money.
Let me move on to Baldor. Oh, I owe Baldor money. Let me move on to this.
Damn.
Until like it got to the point where what's the fucking company that did the bread? Martin's guy, they never cut us off or anything, but he'd be pissed because he would show up knowing that there wasn't a check for him.
Right.
And, you know, we're talking about these funds that went missing.
If there was a check that needed to be written and I couldn't get a hold of Adam, I just wrote the fucking check anyway.
Yeah. And, like, you know, I'm saying here that, and I said it in the video.
The misappropriation of funds?
I don't want any business to close. I just don't want you out there listening to donate your money to this fucking GoFundMe.
Like, honestly,
he has clearly blown it and does not do... That 50 grand will probably get that business to the summer, and then guess what's going to happen in the winter? It's going to close.
Next winter, you mean?
Next fall. I mean, it could be next fucking summer. I don't know. I don't know how in the hole this dude is.
I don't know the past obligations are where you.
I haven't worked
nervous.
There in a couple of years, but I can't imagine it's good.
I don't think it's very good.
What could he do by past obligations? Like, could he be the least like offensive thing it could mean is just like past due bills for the restaurant?
Just and
which would be
vendor.
Like that's past are, obligations that it's like yeah you could and you should pay that.
Listen,
like,
as someone that worked there for. Excuse me, Miss Kelly.
Sorry, he had opportunity to pay it before.
Trust me, I know.
It was just like, I'm not hiring you a maid, guy.
As someone that worked there for just under 2 years,
mm-hmm.
The fuck was I saying? God damn it, I forgot.
Sorry.
Well, where's all the money going? Because like,
yes, that's what I was talking about. Okay, wait. As an employee there of just under 2 years, that was not given a raise by Adam Meir. I was given raises. By her and another person I'm not going to name. By Adam Meir. It became increasingly frustrating to learn that, you know, his rent of, you know, whatever it was, $1,500 a month at this nice loft is being paid for by the profits of this business. His Chinese food, all the things that he does, his clothes, his gas, like, his car,
there was no payroll,
his car insurance.
Him.
He didn't get a paycheck. He just lived off the profits.
Damn.
Like,
for,
like
I'm not sure how many years, but.
Like a piggy bank, a personal piggy bank.
Yeah.
For,
like I.
And then came Boston.
I'm just saying Chinese food because I know he ate a lot of Golden Pot, and I know all that Golden Pot was paid for by like.
And just
my sweat, dog.
Alcohol and alcohol. Sweat. It was really gnarly. Like, there was, like, a rule at one place, like, hey, all right, like, all right, you can't come to management meetings, guys, like, hungover. Fair. Like, hungover, you can't, like, think.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, make really important executive decisions about other restaurants opening under this brand.
Yeah.
And then it just got so gnarly. I was like, yeah, there's no fucking way. There's no save. I don't have the skill set to save this. I hope somebody steps in eventually.
I also know that, I mean, like, this dude, I don't know how much money he had invested in it, but this restaurant happened basically because he's friends with a bunch of really rich people that were like, yeah, sure. Like, let's open this fucking restaurant.
Right, but he found Ashley, right?
And he did.
He found Ashley.
Adam is known. Adam has been known. He doesn't live in Providence anymore. But when he was here, he would scout. He would go to, you know, North Bakery and be like, hey, like, how do you guys get that bread? Like, hey, how do you guys make that sauce? Hey, what do you do this? And it's like, yo, dude, like,
annoying.
Figure out your own shit.
Yeah.
No, we're not giving away this recipe. You know what I mean? And he did find Ashley. He found Casey Sylvia as well. I mean, he knew Casey Sylvia, whatever. But, like, he was scouting, and I know a lot of people around town were always just like, what's up with this dude? Just, like, going into different businesses, asking them questions about how they run their business, you know? He was, like, fascinated on the idea of running a business, like a well-oiled machine,
mm-hmm.
while his business was just, like, exploding on. He used to talk about how he wanted to run Bucktown like Toyota.
Yeah, and he'd be like, you have to read.
He's like, bro, you know
you have
how
to
much.
Read this book. You have to read this book about the
He's like, no, we're going
to
make cars.
Right. I was like, we're talking about chicken. Guys, we're talking about chicken.
So, you know, I said earlier that he's afraid of black people.
Yeah.
Ashley, had so much fun with Ashley. Was a part owner, mm-hmm. chef, and black.
Mm-hmm.
He was terrified of Ashley.
Mm-hmm.
I think at one point, so Ashley and Adam are both originally from New York.
Yep.
New York City.
Ever heard of it?
And Ashley's from the Bronx, you know, she'd been through some shit. And I think she said it best to me that she was like, yeah, Adam is from New York, but Adam is from the part of New York where like rich little white boys are afraid to,
like,
go
upstate.
Into the neighborhoods that I live in. You know what I mean? Like, they stay in Tribeca.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And, like, there was this weird relationship that started, must have started from the beginning, where, like, he's afraid of her. You know what I mean? And this is, like, these two people should be the tightest in the fucking restaurant. And she's just like, this dude is a fucking crazy white motherfucker.
He had little respect for Ashley, though, and capitalized on the fact that she was a woman of color.
Yeah.
She ended up in, like, exhibits for...
Well, you know, like, everyone that he hired after her was very similar to...
Do I say what he said to me?
Yeah, I would love to
What
hear
did he
it.
Say to you?
Mm.
Tell me.
It's really bad.
Let me hear it.
So he said, I hired somebody. We needed people to come in and
wait,
train.
You hired somebody?
I hired somebody.
Yeah.
And this person was white. Cool. And he said, okay, all right, that's really authentic to me later in the office. I was like, what? And he said, that's really authentic, like a white Jewish boy or whatever cooking fried chicken.
Like he said,
what?
He said it like sarcastically?
I don't know. Like I was like I looked at him and he looked at me and he was like, you have to hire black people to cook fried chicken.
Oh my God.
And here's the thing. At a certain point I was like, and he was like, it's cool. I have black friends. I was like, Adam, like, you shut can't, the fuck it's cool. say that. Like, you can't say that. Like, I told him right there and then, like, black people aren't props. Like, it, like, I'm going to hire who has the skill set for the job. Like, I can't. What are you saying? Yeah, like, I was like, that's bro, insane.
That's nuts.
And I was like, I can't believe so you. Like, I...
Okay, you want to hear a good Adam story to brighten the mood a little bit?
Yeah.
But it's okay. Cool, right, Kelly? Like, he would like double so check with me up. If it was okay, if it was racist, and I'd be like, no, that's racist.
Yeah, it's a whole definition of racist.
So, okay, right now.
When Kelly was put on, Adam wanted to change the music at Bucktown because there were too many N-words in the songs.
I wanted to change that. I was like, it's like the N-word all the time.
Well, yeah, it should be listening to the censored version of those songs in a public place like that.
Well, wow, like young children and shit.
Yeah,
like, if you're open during the day, I was like, just play it after 9, guys. Play it after 9.
That's
I don't give a fuck.
That's absolutely
You know what I mean? There's like children and shit. You shouldn't listen.
If you're running a restaurant, the music playing should not be like uncensored.
But he paid a guy to make the playlist. So that was like
paid a guy $200 a month and so maybe made us 4 playlists a year.
Playlist.
Wait, just like I need somebody to make a playlist for my restaurant?
Off of Spotify.
And it would just play on a loop or some shit?
Ashley would change that shit every
day. Well, at one point, Kelly... Kelly let me make some playlists
I remember bringing it up specifically in management meeting, being like, okay,
You know what song used to play all the time?
You guys need to back the fuck up.
Okay.
I am struggling to understand why you need to hire a person to make a playlist on Spotify. Like, you need to give me more details because, like, I didn't know that was a job that you could be hired to do, because it seems like it's something that you just do. You just make a playlist.
I will say this. Spotify, if you get enough followers on Spotify, they'll start paying you to make playlists.
I didn't know that. This was not that type of situation. Yeah, this was just some guy. And I was like, that's crazy. Stop doing that. That's a bill that just stop doing that.
Yeah, well, that's a lot of money, too. Yeah, it's not like
any money at all is too much money for that. Just fucking put on shuffle. Like, just put on, like, make your own playlist. What are you doing?
There was all types of different money spends. What's the fucking word?
Because it looked as expenditures.
Expenditures that just made absolutely no sense.
I mean, there's one right there.
He outsourced everything. So I think he made, at one point, he was doing, like, he would just leave for weeks on end, for like 6 weeks. And those were some of the best times we ever had.
Because the place was just running itself without him.
Yeah, and we were just doing.
Well, he was never there anyway.
I know, but when you knew he was out of state, it was a different feeling. You know, he's gone for 6 weeks, whatever. I try to branch out and do catering. We got a huge wedding. Me and Dan get pulled over in the fucking van with the whole catering order in the back of the van. And the cop was like, this smells pretty good. I'm going to let you go. The car has no insurance, no registration. Like,
what?
You go
the catering van had no insurance or registration?
You go drop off this food.
And it was like the company
get that van back.
Damn.
And I was like, are you kidding me?
It sounds pretty shady.
I was like, oh, we just ruined this person's reception. We just ruined. We're going to jail. This has nothing. You guys, do you have insurance?
That's fucked.
Great.
That's insane.
This isn't inspected. Wonderful.
Like, all this shit sounds pretty fucked up. And like, I mean, some of it's worse than others. Like, I think, like, what I'm thinking is, like, you know, you're describing, it's like, oh, his profits or the profits are going to pay for his this and his that. And on one hand, I'm sitting here, I'm thinking, well, like, yeah, that's like how you own the business. Like, the profit, like, goes to you.
But you go through the right
channels.
But
it's not cool to be, like, having profits like that while everybody else, like, bills aren't getting paid. Like, people aren't getting raises. Like, that part I completely understand, where it's just like, all right, you can't
be,
like,
a legitimate business.
Let me tell
you, you
shouldn't be making money if the business isn't.
Let me tell you,
everybody is. Adam was thriving.
But everything else is done.
Golden pot, baby, golden pot. They got some Apsara. They got good shit, dog.
Fucking Apsara all the time.
damn.
All the time.
I'm sorry. Let me tell you two good stories real quick. I want to tell you the story because you're just going to think this is mad funny. So this has to do with him being uncomfortable in front of black people.
It just is. But
a crew that would frequent Bucktown was the Providence Friars basketball team.
Uh-huh.
So I'm working one night. It's dead. Like, there's no one in the restaurant.
Ben Bentel walks in.
But there's four, and you know, now that I'm thinking, it was probably Chris Dunn, too.
Yeah.
But shout out Chris Dunn.
Shout out.
He comes to Bulk Coffee and loves the breakfast sandwiches, so mm-hmm. that's my boy. So there's, like, four of them. They're huge motherfuckers, like, 6'8", 6'6", like, massive fucking motherfuckers. They're eating, just, like, chilling, enjoying their food, very quiet night, you know?
Yeah.
Adam comes in disheveled, like, fucking, like, all over the place, looking like, and he's like, you could tell he's surprised that it's dead. And then, like, he walks up, he said hi or what. I don't know what the fuck he's doing. But then he, like, looks at who's sitting at the counter and he's, like, taken back. And he just goes, hey, he's like, you guys must play a lot of basketball, huh? And, you know, I swear to God. Homie looks up at him and just goes, like, while eating the chicken sandwich, just goes, nah, golf. And Adam was so, Adam literally did not say a word. It was just like, and literally, like, walked out, left the restaurant. Yeah,
props to that player that said that too. That's fucking hilarious.
Golf. Fucking
golf,
awesome.
Fam.
And now, if you want to talk about Adam being a cheap motherfucker, one time, something broke on the three bay. Mm-hmm. So he had to call. It wasn't a plumber, but it was like a
fucking sink person.
A sink person to come fix the sink. So he's fixing the sink. The sink had been broken forever, so about time it got fucking fixed. He's kind of like this dude's like bent over fixing the fucking sink while Adam is just standing there finagling him about the price. He's like, I just don't see how $250 is enough. Like, I feel like you're overcharging. Like, and the guy's like, literally, as he's fixing the sink, he's like, dude, that's the fucking price. We agreed on it. Okay, so I'm working the line, right? This is all happening. There's people prepping. There's enough people in the restaurant that I'm busy. Hasmeen or someone that's working comes out of the bathroom and goes, yo, the bathroom is fucked. That toilet used to get clogged all the time. Anyway, I tell Adam, because he's right there, I'm like, you know, Adam, here, fix this. So I was like, the toilet's broken. He goes to the guy fixing the sink and goes, hey, you think you could, like, go in the bathroom and take care of the toilet? And the guy goes, nah, I'm not a plumber. Like, I don't know how to do that. He goes, yeah, but, like, you're good with your hands. Like, you're handy. You can go in there and, like, I'm paying you all this money and you can probably just go. And the guy goes, dude, bro, I'm not fixing your toilet. And fucking, like, fix the sink and walked out.
Dude, this guy, that's fucking nuts.
Like, he had this, like, he thought that he was, like, this prolific, like,
he thought he was, like, the fucking Wolf on Wall Street, like, while he was really, like,
and everybody's
fucking,
like, shut the fuck up, dude. You're annoying me.
It's like a bat, like a.
He's like Donald Trump, the art of the deal. Like,
yes, that's exactly. No one has been successful coming out of Bucktown.
There's never been a better businessman than me.
That's exactly Adam's frame of thought. He thought he was.
My book was printed on solid gold.
Revolutionary.
Basically, what I'm saying is that don't donate to this fucking GoFundMe.
I mean,
there's so many.
I wish
other businesses and so many other people out in the city of Providence that deserve 50 G's.
So
that 50 G's this dude's gonna get is gonna be shit down the toilet in a couple months.
Something's bothering me here where you said that when the pandemic started that the profits went up. So, like, I don't understand how the business is in that much trouble. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
to start.
Because where did the money go?
It all goes through.
That's what I'm saying. This was a business that was supposed to be budding into two different expansions. And now they're just no more money. It's all gone.
There's no plan. When I was there, when they started to open Boston, they were paying, right?
Do I know where the money went? No. But do I know where the money went? Kind of.
Damn. This just sounds like a poor business.
And, you know, like, listen, James from North said it best. Everyone's going to get exploited to a certain degree. Right?
Yeah.
He exploited us. And I happened to make a podcast, and now we're exploiting him.
Wow, things do come full circle.
And, you know, I did a lot of thinking about it. It made me feel a lot of ways, but, like, at the end of the day, like, I don't feel bad. Fuck him.
I definitely don't
feel bad.
You know, you think about these things for a few years. Like,
and I loved Bucktown.
That was really fun. Me too.
There were moments at Bucktown that were amazing.
For sure.
I love Mario and Sandra.
For life.
You know?
That's forever love.
There's a lot of people I didn't love there on top of Adam, but...
Sorry.
Well, I'm not saying you. I'm not saying you. You're not one of those people.
I was like, this is outrageous. You see, this is outrageous.
And I don't know.
He couldn't come to the bank with me anymore. I was like, you can't just take money out of the deposit bag. You can't just take money out of the deposit bag.
There were times where I would go back.
I wrote an SOP for it. I was like, this person goes to the bank.
I would go in the back to get something, and the safe would just be wide open with money all over the place. I'd be like, I could literally quit my job and just take $2,000 right now and leave. I don't know.
But. Dude. All right, hold on. Did we address all the things that you said we would get to later? Like, you said something about a Christmas party, I think, okay, or something.
Well,
like this.
I don't know if Kelly wants to talk about
this. I don't think I said
this.
Anything about a Christmas party, but...
I mean, early in the episode, I think you did.
I don't know how far into this story we want to go.
Okay, we don't need to.
It just comes down to bad judgment on Adam's part in a lot of ways that are dangerous to his employees, like continuing to keep going back to a liquor store... Even though you know everyone around you is like super fucking wasted. And I'm like, I'm sober, Dan's sober. Cause I was like, you're being sober. If I'm being sober, you're being sober too, guy. I think he was.
All right. We're going to talk about it, I guess.
So,
I'm confused. What's going on?
Are you comfortable talking about this Christmas
so
party?
I said no significant others cause we knew Ashley's man was no good. We knew he was no good. He had a temper.
Wait a minute. Back it up. We got to back it up a little bit.
Yeah.
So the previous year when you were not there,
yeah,
there was a Christmas party at Bucktown. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty dope.
Okay.
It was dope. Jay Lee and Mel came.
All right.
Anyway.
The party had Jay Lee clout.
Yeah, it did. Can you open this?
Yeah, sure thing.
So Christmas was coming up.
Yeah.
We had had a tough year already with the cutbacks and whatnot.
I was like, I'm going to make this
was,
dopest Christmas
listen,
party
listen,
ever.
Hold up. That is not what I'm saying here. I was talking a lot of shit early, like September. I was like, listen, this motherfucker better throw a good Christmas party this year. Like, it better be as good as last year because it's been rough. Mm-hmm. They've cut back. There's no way there's not money for a fucking Christmas party. We were told there will be no Christmas party this year.
Did I say that?
Yeah.
But
you were
like,
the one. Well, anyway, let me talk here. And I'm saying that Adam rented out like a bar and like had a tab for us the year before, like actually whipped some fucking dough out to hook the people up, you know? And if you don't want to have a party and you want to give me a bonus, that's cool too. I don't give a shit.
I had no control over that.
You know what I mean? Anyway, we're told there's no party. I start making a stink. I'll be honest. I was being a little brat about it.
I was like, this
and
is
I was
the
like,
last
this
thing on
is
my
some
list.
Fucking bullshit. Anyway, it got to a point where I basically convinced Kelly, Ashley, and Dan that we could have a party. Mm-hmm. Let's just do it at Bucktown. We'll make the tacos. Yep. We'll do this. We'll do that. Now, let me tell you, I had a wonderful girlfriend at the time, mm-hmm. and everyone there basically dated each other. You had Mario and Sandra.
Right.
You had Dan and Sarah.
I understand.
So... I thought that significant others were not allowed because of a money thing. Like, we don't have enough money to feed everyone.
It was not. It was to make sure. It was to make sure that Ashley's boyfriend didn't come. Like, I tried my best to make sure to like cover all bases. Like, this guy's a fucking maniac. You know what I mean?
So
he's just a fucking maniac.
Before we get there, I want to talk about how I was. I think it's funny because I was this little shit.
Mm-hmm.
That was bitching about a Christmas party.
I wrapped
this
presents.
Is very on brand.
You know what I mean? Like, I sparked this whole Christmas party to happen.
All decorations,
yes.
Everything.
And when
great.
I was told that I could not bring my girlfriend, I said, fuck it, I'm not going. So I was not there for any of this debauchery that happened at this party. But Kelly, Dan, look at this canoe. Jesus Christ.
Sorry, I didn't want to lick it because of coronavirus. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh,
fix that. Thank you, Dan. I love you, Dan. You're the best co-host ever.
Wow.
So I wasn't there, but it seems like you guys, you know, put some love into it, like made some tacos.
Yeah.
And yada. I was pissed. I think I ended up having like pink eye or something anyway, so I wouldn't have been able to go anyway.
It wasn't about like, I probably said it was for cost, but it wasn't. It was just because I didn't want him there, like that kid there, because he was just bad news.
So DJ came.
Yeah.
DJ was Ashley's boyfriend.
Oh, DJ's the boyfriend?
Yep.
Yeah.
So he did show up.
Yeah, they lived across the street.
What did he? They lived across the street.
They lived in North Providence at the time.
Oh, really? Okay.
So it was an apartment with woods and like water around you. You couldn't like move your car. You would drive.
It was like a cul-de-sac, right?
Yeah, it's something like apartment complex, dead end street, whatever, whatever.
And so Adam brought a ton of booze to
and
this
I
party.
Asked him. Me and at 11 o'clock, me and Dan started like hiding the alcohol, so like we were like, we're gonna wrap this up by 11:30.
Wait, so people were like getting wasted,
wicked wasted,
so much that you guys were hiding the rest of the booze.
It was two handles of Hennessy.
I mean, at a
for maybe like 8 to 10 people.
Point, we started hiding the alcohol because we didn't want it. We wanted them to have fun. They did just work their ass off. Like,
yeah,
we wanted to do something and like.
But,
no
yeah,
offense, I got kids and shit. This is 2 days before Christmas. I don't have time for this shit for you.
Yeah, I can't be babysitting you and then going home to my kids.
Hey, but I'm going to do it anyway because you guys deserve it. And we had fun.
Well, and it had to be open the next day.
Right?
You know, like where they had this party.
I certainly didn't open.
Yes, yes. But they had this party in the restaurant. Mm-hmm. Everyone's getting trashed. Everyone's having fun.
Making a mess.
I mean.
Making an absolute mess.
That's the way she goes, though.
So what happened next, Kelly?
Well,
if you want to give like a shortened version, I totally understand.
So things went awry as they will when you drink too much, right?
Yep. When two, it's gonna get you. The whole damn cherry fell out of the joint right onto fucking Max's lap.
Dude, thank you.
It was gonna burn right
you
through.
You dead ass just
pants.
Saved me a hole in the pants.
So this is the only reason why I would like say anything about this is because like this happens all the time in girls in like this industry, but everywhere. Things did not go my way that night, and it was just like this mess of a night. It ended in like a court. Fucking thing, and it was like
a super traumatized.
Oh, a one-on-one basketball game, you mean?
Yeah, something
that's
like that.
That's what you mean by a court kind of thing?
Something like that, but like, yeah, no, it was just this real fucking.
No, what do you mean by a court kind of thing?
So, like, where I would have to go to court and be like, this is like, this guy should probably go to, you should probably consider sending this guy to jail.
Oh, some shit went down.
Yeah, so some shit went down, and again, I'm like at the end of a cul-de-sac, and this guy's going nuts, and there's like blood over my, like, car and
there's
like
blood involved in this
down.
Oh shit, all right,
there was
so some real
much
shit
blood because like
so what were people fighting
me,
or
like,
some shit
he was fighting me and Ashley at the time had like little like Christmas headband on so like the trees like boggled around and she was like whooping his ass so he would stop like fucking with me like grabbing me
she was who he was in a fight with mainly
so DJ's DJ's probably 6'4", 6'5", and
yeah,
Ashley's probably 6 foot
big guy who's kind of so
they're tall
and so they were physically fighting
I wasn't there but yes
like latched on like physically to me because I'm in the front seat and he's right behind me and he was like he did tell Ashley like I don't want to say much about her because she does her own thing and I'm wherever she is hope she's okay you know but
yeah.
Like he was like, I'm going to kill you. And I was like, oh, shit.
That's not this, what you want to hear.
This
That's
is not. That. And then I have automatic locks. It was like a Corolla. So I was like, fuck, this is like the basic shit. And I couldn't like lock it. So we got back in. And just shit went awry, like way worse awry. So there was like blood. There was like three white cars and there was just like all blood. And like, obviously, so I get out of my car because I'm like, obviously I'm gonna head out of this situation, right? Like I was just like, I just got my ass whooped in my fucking car. I'm leaving, and like you stop. Like I was like in the woods. Like I was like, I'm in a horror movie. This is literally how girls like fucking die, right,
bro?
And you think like, are you think to yourself like, do you call 911 in this situation? Because like in 2016, 2017, like I was scared. I didn't want them to grow up. And like shoot him. I was what do you do?
We all know how cops do.
And, but
listen,
then I was
blue
like,
blue lives do not matter. Yeah,
true.
I was like, so in this situation, I would have no other choice but to call the cops. Right?
Wait, did you call the cops though?
I had no other choice because I couldn't find Ashley.
Crimes were occurred.
I couldn't. Yeah, crimes like certainly had fucking occurred. But
so what? So the owner.
Basically, what happened was everyone.
I got the week off. I remember coming in and trying.
Oh, wait,
to, like,
I think we got to fill in some gaps here.
Yeah.
Basically, they all got wasted at the party.
Even though I try to call it quits, call it a night, hide the alcohol, do everything.
DJ started bugging out
in the bathroom and like punching.
I don't know what it
wall.
Was about.
Me neither.
But basically, they had to get him out of there. I was told it Might have been Adam related because DJ did not like Adam around Ashley.
The way I look at it,
he was weirdly possessive about it. And Adam was a fucking weirdo around Ashley.
It was either me or Adam who was going down that night. Like, he was so close to just whooping
and
the
basically
fuck out of Adam. And I was like, time to go. I'm sober.
So Kelly gave them a ride and Kelly got caught in the middle of
because they started fighting
of an episode.
Yeah, damn, that sucks.
So, but then you go to like a trial, you go to like a courthouse,
yeah,
and he's like sentenced, and you can like say what you need to say to like make your peace, like in a fucking Lifetime movie. I damn. Did that shit. I was like, I grew up on Lifetime. I know what to do here. I learned it on SVU. I know what to do. You know what I mean? This is what happens to girl. Like, if you choose to fucking call the cops, then you better be ready to go through the whole shit. And I was like, yeah, you don't think you should go to jail? And the judge was like, no. And I was like, I think maybe it might be a good idea if he did go to jail. Not an option at the time because he didn't have a record or whatever. Whatever the fucking case. But he went on living his life. I'm doing me, you know.
Damn.
But girls face a ridiculous amount of just you go in expecting to be fondled and harassed.
Well, I want to ask you, I mean, because I don't really, you know, I'm not you. I don't know.
Yeah.
What was it like when you came back?
It was good. You guys are great. But I knew I had to go. And the only reason why I bring up.
How long did you come back for before you left?
I was out by February. I was like, okay. I'm absolutely leaving. I can't stay here.
Do you remember, like, I don't want to like push you too far, but like when you came back, like, what was your conversation with Adam like about what you had to experience at that Christmas party?
I told him what happened, and he was like, "Yeah, I'm sorry." I was like,
"What? Okay. What?"
He was like, "I'm sorry about it. I'm sorry." I was like, "Okay."
Okay.
I had a week off. He basically left me alone.
Yeah.
But I came back to a shit show. Of course, this place was a shit show. But you guys kept it together on the front. It wasn't really you guys that were ever the problem. Having enough money to motivate you guys, knowing fucking pizza night doesn't fucking cut it. Like, you know, getting the business to be a business was the hard part.
Yeah.
So after everything went down.
I mean, things were like, I would say when you came into Bucktown, at first things were shitty. I would say by the time you left, aside from this whole party thing, things were in better shape. And then like,
I mean, it had to be.
Very like, quickly after you left, like, things were like.
And I know, I mean, I considered it before I left, but I was like, I can't.
I wouldn't understand.
I was like, this guy doesn't listen and he's not going to reason. Also, fucking, you need to pay me more money for this shit because this is not it.
Yeah.
But why I bring up that, I did. Yeah. He fucked up. It was either I asked him to stop buying alcohol for that party. No, I did more than once and hit it. And I remember Dan, another coworker, helping me hide it. And he fucked up. And then when I went
to the kept going to the liquor store and getting more.
Yes,
some shit.
He would walk and go and bring more back, more Coronas for Mario and Sandra.
The liquor store is, mind you, like 2 blocks from Bucktown.
So he would just walk there and get
and
more booze. And so as
you're hiding. 5 minute walk.
So that sucks. Yeah, that's
like
not helping.
You know something's gonna go bad, you don't know what's gonna happen. Like, you're gonna be the bad thing. Like, my coworkers handled it really well. It was just a unfortunate situation. But I go to get my last check in February, and he asked me to do like something for him on a Monday, and I was like, so fucking done. And he tries to
after you were getting your last paycheck after quitting, he was asking you to work.
Yes, and I gave him a whole 2 weeks to get his shit together, which was impossible. But I was like, I can't. I'm obviously not gonna do this. Yeah. Like, I'm out. And he handwrote my checks because it didn't go through your company payroll to keep your labor costs in check. So that's ways we would defraud the system. I understand my wrongdoing. I understand my wrongdoing. I'm coming clean about it. Hey. Okay. I wasn't on the payroll to keep your labor costs down.
That's what they call a legal whoopsie.
That's what you call defrauding investors.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So once you guys actually had numbers, because the investors weren't getting paid, and he had like 8 or 9 investors, once they were never
received,
and once they never so received their money back, they were like, okay.
Yeah, that's not how that's put. That's how investment's supposed to work.
So, Dan, I got to ask you, we are an hour and 14 minutes into this podcast. Well, after I edit it, we'll see if it's an hour and 14. But Do you still want to donate to this GoFundMe?
I mean, not really. Okay. I hear you.
Let's hear your honest opinion about what we've spoken of.
It sounds pretty bad, but
I think we did a decent wrap up.
I was honestly expecting kind of worse. I'm surprised I didn't hear any allegations of sexual misconduct or anything of that nature. I was kind of expecting that, just, you know, we're dealing with white men here or whatever.
Well,
you know,
like, I get that too, but we also like.
I'm glad I didn't hear anything. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry to disappoint you. I was not harassed at Bucks Out.
I'm not disappointed.
He came through
with the racism.
He didn't really work there.
Like, you know what
I mean?
In,
so yeah. It's not like you wouldn't have. I mean, I guess it could have happened, but like, he wasn't there long enough for anything to really happen. And that's why when bad experience happened, it was like, okay, I see this dude once a month and he's fucking yelling at me right now. Like,
there were conversations after. A certain employee that happened to be very attractive happened at a bar in Boston about the course to take.
You actually did make him sound creepy when you're like, he's making people come up to his apartment for one-on-one interviews.
He never, as far as I know, he hasn't done anything.
I don't think he would. I think he knows I wouldn't.
But he did weird shit. So, well, he's just weird.
As
so
far as what saying. I, the impression I get is it sounds like this is a terrible business owner that has no idea how, like, running a business is supposed to work. And on top of that, seems like, well, but that's not necessarily, like, malicious. You know what I mean? It's like it's not, like, actively
being malicious,
but you could argue that, like, the treatment of the people that work for him
could be construed
as malicious.
And
because to deliberately keeping people down while you're coasting is pretty fucked. So, yeah, I guess I'm convinced.
Those two things are malicious.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You could definitely argue that, like, you know, keeping the people, like, that's all malicious. It's not cool.
Okay, so you want to hear about.
No, like the actual crimes.
Yeah.
You don't go into a crime without malicious intent.
Yeah, true. Well, yeah.
Crimes?
You can definitely commit crimes without malicious intent.
I mean, like.
Like which
like
one?
Like, what if you're arrested for vandalism by just putting up a fat piece? Like, you're just sharing art with the world. You get arrested for it. Okay. Like, that's not malicious intent.
These specific crimes that were hard to watch go down.
Yeah. I mean, there are most crimes are definitely fucked. Okay.
That's absolutely. Like, knowing what I know, I'm like, this is borderline.
I'm trying to think of some good fucking. All right, so, like...
You're going to have to edit this.
Did you work there with McBurney?
No, it was right after that. So McBurney came... He came back.
McBurney came after you left, right?
Is that Wicked Wicked Stoner Kid?
No.
Who's that kid?
I don't know.
He was awesome. He was my favorite.
I don't know who the fuck
you're
talking about.
Ended up buying weed from him. Bucktown was a lawless land.
Harry?
Harry.
Harry was the oyster shucker.
HP. I loved Harry.
HP will be on the pod at some point.
I got a Harry feeling about that kid.
Anyway.
Harry's one of my favorite parts. He's still on my phone and he has a weed, like a leaf next to his name.
Around the time that I quit, McBurney and Frank got jobs at the establishment.
Mm-hmm. Shouts out.
McBurney got the job because he wanted to flex to get more money from the establishment, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And he thought it was fun, which, when McBurney came, it was amazing. It was like, dude, like, we got McBurney on this fucking line right now?
McBurney is a fucking boss.
McBurney was blowing shit out of the water. And this is when Ashley was still there. So this was before Ashley quit. Then Frank asked for a job because he just heard McBurney was working there. It was like, I'll come work there. I don't give a shit. So Adam did not like Frank. Because Frank didn't really give a shit when he worked there.
Yeah, Frank's too hip.
Like, Frank definitely learned some dope shit and, like, was able to, like, do the job. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, he was a good worker. But, like, Adam definitely didn't like him. At this point, Adam hated me. It was, like, an open thing that, like, Adam
this
was...
Checks out.
So, Kelly was no longer there. Adam was looking for reasons to get
like,
rid of me.
I want to fire Max. And I would give him the longest of reasons why we cannot fire
Max. Like, yeah, he's half like, of your hours.
Like, twice a week.
I love that.
Can we fire Max?
That's funny.
Nope. Can't
just
fire Max.
Just sitting there like Dr. Evil. Like, oh, I just want to fire
all the time. Almost every management meeting. I have the notes in my drive.
Adam.
I know
you're listening to this right now. And if you apologize, I will still donate $5 to the GoFundMe.
I don't think I will. I think I want to go to Bolton.
Anyway, so I was getting fed up at Bucktown. my amazing friend Casey Sylvia, friend of the pod. Shout out Casey Sylvia.
First guest.
Was one of Bolt's first employees and put me on to Bolt. So I started working part-time at Bucktown, part-time at Bolt.
Mm-hmm.
And then it got to the point where I was just like, fuck Bucktown.
Yeah.
And I was still making the $12.50. And I went to Adam. And I was literally like, I want to quit. So I'm going to kind of like just say something to him. And like, it'll go one way or the other, you know? And I basically was like, Adam, we need to talk. And he was like, what's up? And I was like, I need $15 an hour or I'm quitting. And he was just like, okay, like maybe you went about this the wrong way and you should have been asking me like this. And I was like, I'm going to need some time to think about it. And then like, so we like set to meet up the next day. Brings me into that back office.
Which is
like, let's not even get into what that fucking back office looked like.
I tried to make it organized.
He sat me down and basically, instead of just being like, yeah, no, he like was trying to understand why I needed 15. He's like, you know, I think we pay you good here. And I was like, listen, Adam, like,
is this guy Nick Nolte? Like, he sounds fucking,
he's just like very spazzy. So that's why
he
sounds
like. He is. And it's like,
yeah, $15. Anyway, he started just going on a tangent about money and working and blah, 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 blah. And I was like, Adam, listen, dude, like,
Listen,
I don't need to hear anything. Just, it's yes or no. I don't care.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, I don't think we're going to be able to give that to you. And I was like, okay, this is my 2 weeks notice.
I quit.
So I think it was, so I go back into the kitchen. And I think McBurney had gone back to the establishment at that point. It was Frank and someone else. And Frank goes, what's up? And I was like, I just put my 2 weeks in. Frank walks out the door and goes and puts his 2 weeks in.
Yo. That checks out so hard. He's like, well, now there's no reason to be here. All my friends are gone.
Adam
so
must have been devastated.
The second day of, I think, I want to say it was the second day of our 2 weeks notice. Me and Frank were scheduled to work doubles, both of us, mm-hmm. work doubles, and we were supposed to have one person work front of the house on, like, a mini double. So there was time, there was no one to work. Like, someone was...
So three people working all day.
Fucked. And usually it was three and three, yeah. Like, two different 3 and 3 shifts. We got slaughtered. The whole time we were just like, fuck this place.
Yeah.
This is the worst. We're getting fucked up, whatever. And then the next morning, and I'll tell you, like, we didn't close good, but it certainly was not like bad enough. But we got texts that were just like, hey, we appreciate your help so much. We don't need you to come in anymore. And me and Frank were like, fuck this place forever.
Yeah, so how bad did you close for real? Let's talk about what you did that was
not fireable.
Yeah, but, like, how bad was it? Like, did you not change the file later, or did you not do blah, blah, blah?
I don't really remember.
It was probably pretty rough.
Didn't mop or some shit.
I was told that Dan fought for us.
Do you remember the day we shut down the whole restaurant to clean it? Because I was like, this is unacceptable.
That's gross.
We can't work here like this.
And Adam brought us two pizzas and bounced.
Sick.
So that's a seagull manager, and I was there to handle the day-to-day shit, like, walked into, like, the electricity being off, or I don't want to work fucking 60 hours a week for Bucktown. But so the whole reason, okay, so why I bring up everything that happened at that Christmas party, on my very last paycheck, I go in, and he used to handwrite them for me, and he tried to, like, negotiate for less, to pay me less for my last paycheck. And I was like,
what?
I was like, yo, are you dumb? And he was like, what? I was like, that's not going to happen. And I ripped up the check, like, right in front of him. I was like, absolutely fucking not. Write a fucking new check. Sign your fucking name on that check right fucking now. I was so heated. I was like,
Did he do it?
Absolutely. He was like, oh my God.
What a coward.
And
what a sniveling little worm.
Do it right this second or I'm going to lose my shit. And I told him in no uncertain terms, I will fucking lose my mind if you do that. Do it again.
Listen here, you weasel.
And, like, I'm not assertive like that. I don't think I was like that with, like, you guys. Like, do it right fucking now. It's not anything I wouldn't do myself, except maybe, I don't know, I cleaned that basement. I cleaned that rat shit out of that house. It was so gnarly. I can't believe people didn't get sick. I won't eat there for that reason.
I mean,
ever once. I don't know.
So like we, I was talking about how like things were getting cut back. Like when I started there, so there were three big fry layers. I'm trying to think back pretty far. Basically, they started like getting new oil half as often.
Yeah.
So the oil was dirtier. Like they would order get so much chicken that by like the end of the chicken, there would be like one hotel pan that is just like gruesome.
Nasty.
So oh my God. There were so many
times. You gotta order it often and not a lot of it.
So they had the house in the back and I would take the chicken from the restaurant, you know, brine it, cut it up, brine it, plastic wrap it, put the top on it. And we would carry it from that outside through the walkway, through the back driveway, into the house, into another fridge, into the back room, into another fridge.
Bad. So not in the restaurant anymore.
No.
That's licensed sell food.
Now it's just a house.
That's not cool.
Now it's just a separate house. And yeah. From my first experience.
And mind Sienna, you, that's another rent that's being paid for by the profits of the restaurant.
Right. It was a serve for places to live.
So two rents. Well, I mean, at points, like, Divas lived there for a little bit. Adam lived there for a little bit.
I was like, this is not it, guys. Damn. Get the fuck out of
the
house.
Door didn't lock.
Yeah. It was so
like,
fun.
If someone wanted to go back there and just, like, steal the safe, it would be...
so easy.
Well, unless they ran into someone, it'd be very easy.
Damn.
And I knew from my previous first, like, creepy experience with the owner, Sienna, and going to, like, private, he was like, there's a house in the back. I was like... immediately,
like,
I don't want to like go in that house.
Fuck that.
You know, I don't want to do it. But out of all the places, I think what time was the worst.
I mean, Kelly, you have quite a unique story.
Yeah,
that I'm, you know, a little bit a part of because I mean,
I've loved to hear.
Yeah. I'm gonna say it right there. Fuck him.
Well, at Bucktown, we were able to do a program with YWCA teaching Rosie's Girls how to cook.
And I remember that.
It was so That's fun.
It. You and Ashley
it was
did it.
Planning a 9-week program for at-risk youth.
That's dope.
Teaching them how to cook on a budget, and it got me into a career. Now I work at Youth in Action. I'm their office manager, working at nonprofits.
That's
so it, like, yes, many bad fucking things happen there, but I
put you on your path.
Hell yeah. I was like, I can do this instead.
So, I mean, do you have anything else you want to talk about before we go?
No, I mean, we covered the fraud of investors. Oh, we covered the theft. We covered the like slight racism, I would call it.
It's like the racism where like you don't overt, hate someone for being black, but you're
going to capitalize on it like a Miley Cyrus.
It's
video.
Like a salt based sprinkling of racism into the dish.
But a isn't, little flavor.
But it's racism.
Oh yeah, yeah. Undeniably.
And I was like, I'm uncomfortable with this. I like would say it.
Racism Bay.
It's like, bro, why do you have a fried chicken and fish?
Should we just call him Racism Bay now?
I mean, a light sprinkling.
Just a light sprinkling of fear racism. Of black people.
It's rough. And yeah, I felt the story needed to be told. So, yeah. I mean, and now we have the opening to have more Bucktown guests on and we can talk about
Yeah, we're going to have to
There's
get to
There's a
the
lot
bottom.
Of them. So
yeah,
you should get Yasmeen on. I feel, but I don't want to fire her.
I don't want Yasmeen on here.
Sorry about it.
Oh shit!
It was an accident.
One of the worst coworkers ever. So
or no, Damn. It was very deliberate to actually fire her.
I mean, she was actually a good cook. It was just dealing with her.
She just like yelled in my face one day, and I was like, "Oh like, no!"
I will say Yasmeen was pretty good at cooking, but
all right, respect to
good at being cool. No,
good at being cool.
That and then, so she came in, yelled at me and Ashley, and Ashley was like, "Like, are you finished? You finna fire that bitch?" And I was like, "Yeah, I think she might have to go." That was pretty rough.
Listen, I think we're gonna call this a wrap, right, Kelly.
Let's do it.
I'm so happy you came on.
Yeah,
I hope you come back on another time. We're going to skip JR status this
week.
Yeah,
this is already a heavy episode.
Because, well, yes. And I looked at his Facebook and he actually hasn't posted any statuses. So shout out JR.
Yeah, that's good.
That's our Juggalo friend.
I need to know.
Woot woot family.
Woot woot, you know. But Kelly, thank you so much again. Everyone out there listening, please, you know, just go on
tip
to
your,
the...
Tip your servers when you go out to eat.
At least you can make an informed decision.
Tip your servers.
Yes, yes. Now you can make an... Tip your fucking servers.
Tip your servers.
Yeah, always.
Be fucking nice.
But I'm saying here...
Don't donate to Bucktown.
Don't donate to Bucktown.
I think more research.
Do you think we painted our picture?
I think you've stated your case. Yeah.
Yeah. So don't do that. And you know what would be very nice too, if you wanted to go onto Instagram, Bucktown PVD, and just comment like "Rags to Dishes" podcast rules. You know, I fucking love "Rags to Dishes" podcast. The chicken biscuits were better when Max Richter made the biscuits. I don't know, shit like that. But yeah, I mean, everyone listening, I love you. Thanks for tuning in. Adam, wish you the best.
Good luck.
Good luck. Hope you don't get that 50 G's. And if you do, maybe think about how you're going to use it.
I hope he doesn't. I hope there's some other steps in place to prevent him from getting it. But
yo, Rex, the dishes right. caught a body today. Straight up.
Well, I'm Max Messier-Richter.
I'm Dave Cotter.
Kelly.
And this is the Rags to Dishes podcast. Bye.